case for argument is 18-1697, Bridge and Post versus Verizon. We're ready, Mr. Johnson, whenever you are.
Morning.
Good morning.
we're here on appeal from a decision by the trial court where we were never even allowed an opportunity for an argument, where the trial court entered an order which we believe is directly contrary not only to what was patented, but also to the allegations set forth in the complaint and in the specification. By way of example, the trial court, in his order, said that our technology had hijacked consumer privacy.
That's just a flowery introduction to an opinion. But he actually got into the issues and the patents.
He did, in part, Your Honor, but he did not, in fact, and I can explain that. He said, for example, that the technology was an abstract idea. He then said that that, quote, abstract idea was simply related to the delivery of targeted content. Unfortunately, he didn't bother to look at the claims to find out how that was done. For example, he admitted in his order that there was prior art technology out there, like cookies, like IP addresses, that had been used to deliver targeted content in the past. He admitted that our approach was an approach that was different and that was designed to overcome the problems with targeted material from cookies. And by way of an example, let me just explain. In the older approach, and I'm going to go before cookies, where you just had bricks and mortar, you delivered your content either by way of a newspaper, a commercial, and it was generalized. That evolved into being able to deliver content to someone's zip code. Again, that was an approach that was discussed. After the internet came into being, cookies were employed. And cookies were significant because cookies attached to the user's device. And it was a point-to-point, that is to say, it went from the user's device to the particular website that was being accessed. And the problem with cookies was you were able to get all sorts of personal information stored and collected, which would invade the user's privacy rights. The internet, as we know, is worldwide. And because of that, if you were delivering target market...
The problem is claims like these pass information back and forth, which has been held to be abstract, an abstraction, and therefore not patent eligible.
Right.
And cookies are involved in the same process.
Right. The difference is this is much more than merely passing information. The user directs a request to a website. And we're talking now about the 594. That information or that direction is then intercepted, and a persistent identifier is created So you know what that device is and where it is at all times. That is significant because if I'm in Washington, D.C. today and New York City tomorrow, my persistent identifier will indicate to the content provider where I am. That is not true.
But even if that's a clever idea,
yes,
adding an abstraction to an abstraction doesn't change the fact of abstraction, does it?
Well, if you say I'm adding an abstraction to an abstraction, that assumes that there was no device involved. And that assumes that those devices were not operating in a way to enable you to accomplish what you plan to. But if you look at the 594 and you look specifically at, say, figure 2, you will see on the left side you have access devices. On the right side, you have very specific devices that are required. For example, there is a CR server, consumer relationship server. That consumer relationship server has to be there, and it has to do certain specific things. If those things aren't done, you simply are not practicing the patent. Now, we know further.
So, but what is the relevance of what you're saying? I mean, that there's a device that's, if a device is just a generic device.
No, it's not a generic device.
So, yeah, I don't understand the significance of your saying.
Sure.
A device that's performing a function.
So, if you have a persistent device identifier, you still need to develop a consumer profile.
Okay.
That consumer profile is developed in the CR server. But in addition to that, you also have information about location and time that also has to be developed. So, for example, if you are at Starbucks and you go through an access point, you are able, at that point, using this technology, to recognize that you are at Starbucks in Washington, D.C., at a certain time, and that perhaps next door there is a store that you might otherwise frequent based upon your user or group identifier.
Well, as Judge Lurie pointed, I mean, by this time we've got quite a bit of case law in this area, and a lot of it sounds familiar in terms of these devices and exchanging information and so forth. So what's your case?
Well, I mean, our case is very much like Ancora. In Ancora, you were dealing with another solution to deal with hacking. And the solution they came up with was to modify the BIOS, tag it, to prevent ease of access by hackers. And in our case, we developed an approach where you use the HTTP tag and you were able to provide information, the information, now remember, these tags are primarily for routing, but the tag takes the information, provides it to upstream to the target identifier, and that target identifier can then decode it and provide a specific targeted market marketing information to you.
Now, you've got three patents here.
Yes.
Are we to, in effect, treat them all in the same way? If we accept your argument, they all pass, and if we don't, none of them do?
Each one stands on its own.
Yes.
It's correct.
In fact, in law, but in terms of the concepts.
No, the concepts are different. So, for example, a 594, let's use the example of my cell phone. So with a 594, I go out to the web. My persistent identifier, which is the phone, is then identified. Personalized information is extracted and located in the CR server. That information is then available for use by someone involved in direct marketing. That information, once it's developed, enables them to know where I am, what I'm doing, and it also enables them to provide targeted information. That had never been done before. Now, if we go to the next one, which is the 747, that is a different technique. It talks about how you develop tags that would be useful for implementing this particular scheme. And in fact, what happens is you get location information, time information, etc. You have it stored in a location where it can be encrypted, provided to a media outlet, and if they choose, they can then target you. But you have to have this tagging information in order to accomplish that.
But the 747 is the only one of the three patents that actually claims, as I understand it, the inclusion of this information in the HTTP header.
Correct.
Yeah, so that is a degree of specificity, it seems to me, that, for example, the 594 patent lacks. I don't see anything comparable to that in the 594.
If you will, go to Claim 15. Claim 15 in the 594 is a system claim. And it provides sufficient detail, and it talks about providing you get the demographic information is provided to the server computer in the form of user profile data, and the location is provided to the server computer in the form of data selected from the group consisting of zip codes. And then you have international codes, etc.
Right, but that's all, it all has a very functional feel to it. You're describing a function without describing the specific mechanics of performing the function.
But the specific mechanics are detailed.
But they're detailed in the specification, perhaps, but they don't find their way into the claims.
But let's go back to Claim 1.
All right.
So Claim 1 says, hold on a second. I'll get up to the right one.
Certainly doesn't refer to HTTP.
I'm sorry?
Certainly doesn't refer to HTTP.
No, you don't have HTTP there. What you have is you retrieve a persistent identifier. Then you have to determine the network address. And then one or more characteristics. And then you have to retrieve historic information that's also on the internet. And then you have to use that information to determine how many times and locations the particular persistent identifier is in use. And then once that's done, then you generate the user profile based upon the historic information, and then you store the user profile as a record that is then identified, that then identifies the user. Then you incorporate that into the user profile, and then once that's done, then you assign a group identifier. And after you've done that, the result is you then analyze and retrieve the device identifier, the historical information, and once you've done that, then you place the directed media by the directed media component to a particular website.
And
it's
all software, right?
No, it's hardware, software and hardware. You cannot do it unless you have a CR server.
It's known hardware plus software.
But it's known hardware used in a different way. No one has ever done that before. And that's why you
Isn't
are able...
Is that a question of obviousness, novelty? Not 101.
No, that would not be 101. But and to answer your question is no, I don't believe it would be obvious. And the reason is because of the ultimate...
but I mean, isn't it an obviousness question, which isn't before us? What's before us is patent eligibility.
Right. If
abstraction.
Right. If you say that this is an improvement over the use of prior art systems like cookies, then we aren't talking about an abstraction. You come clearly within Claim 1 of ours. And if you're saying that, well, we need to know more specifics, we have provided you specific detail here in Claim 1. And, you know, I apologize. I read Claim 15 from the different patent. If you look at Claim 15 in the 594, you'll see.
15 from the 594.
I got to grab my hand, put my hands on it.
It's on Appendix 64.
Ah. Yeah, if you look at Claim 15, column 13 in Appendix 64,
right.
That is not an abstraction. That provides detailed components about how you are to accomplish the result.
All right. Okay. You're into your rebuttal time, so I'm here. All right. Thank you. Good morning.
May it please the court, Deanne Maynard on behalf of Verizon. The patents at issue here take business practices that this court already has held to be abstract and implement them with generic technology used in conventional ways.
You know, I understand your argument with respect to the 594 and the 314. I think it's 314.
Yes, sir.
I'm having more trouble with your argument as applied to the 747 because there, and that's the one that has the HTTP header, and the RID gets encrypted and put into the, that sounds specific to me. That sounds like something that gets far beyond the generic functional sounding language that's used in the claims asserted from the other patents.
Okay, so one, Your Honor is correct that the 747 is the only one that has the issue that you're raising, but I don't think it changes the analysis, and here's why, for a number of reasons. One, the 747 is still directed to an abstract idea of transmitting user information using encrypted.
But even if that's true, isn't it doing it in a very specific way? It saying, we could do this in any number of ways, and the other claims don't limit the ways that it can be done. But we here are doing it by taking the information, encrypting it, and sticking it in a place where it's, at least by hypothesis, never been put before.
Okay, 2 points about that. One, obviously specificity is not enough to get you eligibility. This court's held that. Nor is limiting an abstract idea to a particular technology. And then maybe perhaps more importantly to Your Honor's question, the specification makes clear that is a conventional use of the HTTP header. The specification makes clear that HTTP headers already contain user information, and they're just putting additional user information into blank space. If this were secured mail, and secured mail had just taking the barcode and putting on in a blank space on the envelope, this is just taking that same abstract idea and putting it in a blank space in the HTTP header that's already used in that very way. And I can point, Your Honor, to the place in the specification where it talks about just the standard use of the HTTP header. Mm-hmm. So, looking at, which patent would you prefer, the 314 or the 747?
Either one. The 746 specification. So
at Appendix 80, Column 9, Lines 2 to 5, it talks about standard HTTP requests include various content fields, including headers and data fields, which accommodate incremental information from the network. So the HTTP header is already used to add information. This is just adding. This is not changing it in kind. So,
but isn't that an advantage of the patent? In other words, what the patent's the cleverness here, if there is that we've taken the technology that's already out there. We don't have to make any big changes, but we're exploiting a feature that hasn't, again, by hypothesis, been exploited before, and doing something that hasn't been done before by using already existing technology, the HTTP header.
But implementing the abstract idea, which is the tagging. Tagging is the abstract idea, as recognized in secured mail. Tagging and encrypting information about the sender is just an abstract idea. And this is just implementing that abstract idea on generic technology, can be any kind of header, any kind of HTTP header, in a conventional way, Judge Bryson. The way that HTTP headers, the specification makes clear, HTTP headers already contain information about the user, like the user's browser, and it already contains blank fields. If you look at APPX, this is like column 9, 40 to 42. The HTTP header also includes one or more extensible fields that are essentially blank but can be used to store additional data. So it's unlike ANCORA. So he points to ANCORA, which came out after our red brief. We address it in our Rule 28J letter. But ANCORA is different because ANCORA is using the BIOS in a way that the BIOS has never been used before to improve the functioning of the computer itself. So those are two distinct differences between what's going on here with the HTTP header, which the specification makes clear is just an ordinary conventional use of the HTTP HTTP header, which is to put information about the user in it and transmit it along with the traffic, like the rest of the information that's already in the header, to go along as a tag just to implement the abstract idea from secured mail. And Quora uses the BIOS in a way that the BIOS has, the court concluded, not been used before to include information unlike, of a different kind than the BIOS has ever been used before. This is the same kind. This is using the HTTP header to carry the same kind of information the HTTP header already is used to carry. It's not coming up with any new way, unconventional way of doing it. It's just implementing the abstract idea using conventional technology. It's like, take secured mail and do it on internet traffic. That's it. It's not, so even if it is a new clever place and it hasn't been put there before, a new clever idea isn't enough to get you out of abstract ineligibility if all you're doing is implementing the abstract idea, which tagging is.
If it's new and clever, it probably isn't conventional routine and well, what is it, conventional routine and well known?
No, I think there's a difference between the two, Your Honor. One is, like, it's a new idea to tag the information. Secured mail could have been a new idea. The barcodes, putting the barcodes and all that could be a new idea, could be beneficial in some way. But it doesn't make the use of those things unconventional. And the specification makes clear that this same kind of information is already carried in the header, in the HTTP header, and they're just adding new information to it. So new information of the same kind.
Would your answer be different if, in fact, no one had actually put this kind of information in an HTTP header before? It was sitting there, unused. And this patent says, we've got a use for it. Stick it in.
I think
that render it no longer an abstract idea?
I don't know, Your Honor, because I still go back to, like, secured mail. And if you say, like, if the claims in secured mail had said, well, and stick the barcode on a blank spot on the envelope, would you have thought that that took it out of from ineligibility to eligibility? I don't think so. And this is no different than that. Empty space in the HTTP header. But I do think it does help us that the specification makes clear that it already carries information about the user's browser in it, including, you know, information about the user is already flowing with the traffic. And so they, you know, make an idea that they intercept and they make assertions that somehow they're rerouting the traffic, but they're not rerouting the traffic. The traffic is going the same way it always goes from the user's request on conventional technology through a conventional router. And that's another thing. It can be any router. It's through the router to the content provider. The traffic just goes right through that, and the HTTP header is just traveling with that in the ordinary way, and they've just proposed adding additional information to that header of the same ilk that's already there. And that is just implementing the abstract idea on generic technology in a conventional way, which is not enough to not enough to make it patent eligible. I'm happy to answer additional questions about that, or you still look unsatisfied. I can point you to the
I didn't mean to give any indication of lack of satisfaction. I appreciate your answer.
Would your honors like me to address any questions about the other? I mean, the 594 patent is just targeted marketing, and this court already held the same concepts to be abstract and intellectual ventures, and as Judge Lori pointed out, adding the additional abstract idea that user persistent identifier, which is a known thing, to that doesn't change it.
And you see the 314 is falling into the same category?
The 314 is I think, the abstract idea from secured mail, and so all of the things that I said about the 747 patent apply to the 314, except it doesn't, as Your Honor recognized, even claim the tagging into the HTTP header. So the 314 is just like secured mail. It's like the internet request goes, you tag user information onto the request, and you encrypt it. It can be the technology can be any off-the-shelf standard off-the-shelf components, any technology just used to send any. There's nothing special about the ID. It can be any ID, including a Mac ID. The fact that they propose to take in some claims to take different IDs and add them together, that idea was in secured mail too. It's not. There's nothing to take it out of out of the abstract world, and there's nothing unconventional about it, the way that they've implemented it in either, I think, the 314 or the 747 patents. So basically the whole discussion that I had with you about they're not changing the way the traffic goes. It goes in the same exact way. It just really takes secured mail and encrypt some information about the sender and have it flow along with the mail.
So you see the 594 and the 314 is a fortiori from the 747.
Yes, if you agree with us that the 747, I think that I would separate them differently than that. So I think that the abstract idea in the 594 patent is the abstract idea from Intellectual Ventures. It's directed marketing. It's like collecting, user makes a request.
Which of the Intellectual Ventures?
The one in 792. The one in 792.
Okay.
So it's not the XML one, but the one about putting up website content in reaction to who the user is. I mean, it's just gathering and collecting information about the user and then serving up targeted ads to them. There's nothing claimed special there. They don't claim to have invented any of the technology. They don't claim to have invented any of the technology in any of these patents. And then I would say that's on that. And then the 314 and the 747 patent are the abstract idea from secured mail, which is just taking information about the sender, encrypting some information into it, and then sending information in response to that, and that they implement that with generic technology in conventional ways. And then, you know, we've already had the discussion about why I think the using the HTTP header is just a conventional use of the HTTP header, and narrowing it down to a specific detail like that doesn't save it from being abstract.
Okay.
We would request that you affirm.
Thank you.
Let's start again with the 594, which if counsel is to the counsel says is not at all unique, and the reality is it is, in fact, unique. It is the first time where you are able to create a profile from the network, not from the device. This is all on the network side. And the reason that's important is twofold. One, anonymity. Two, privacy. So this is all being done on the network side, and it does not include personal information, which, again, is an improvement over what had been done before. And since it can only be created by the network, the user is not involved in that process. And using the identifier for that approach creates the system that we believe is unique. You heard counsel say that this is just like using a stamp in an envelope. It is not.
A barcode.
Yeah. It's not. Because you can't use a barcode on the internet. You have to be able to track some device in order to be able to identify what it is you want to target for that individual. That simply cannot be done in a conventional way. What was done here was unique because you can track the individual device holder, wherever that person is, using whatever access point. Now, you asked the question in the outset about, is this just software? And I said, no, it's hardware and software. But it's no different than what happened in DDR. It's no different. This is a solution that allows you to market in ways that could never be done before. And it's easy to say, oh, everybody knows marketing. Well, that may be true, but you cannot market on the internet one-to-one if you want to find out what a person is doing everywhere they go. Simply cannot be done.
Okay. Thank you. We thank both sides, and the case is submitted.